We're going to look today at how to discover and hopefully seek God's will. According to Ephesians 5:17, the wisest thing you can do is seek and hopefully discover God's will. Here's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Some of you have just graduated and you're trying to decide what's next. Some of you are considering a career move and you're looking at moving into another kind of work. Some of you are trying to decide whom to marry or when to marry. Some of you have a major financial decision to make. Some of you are trying to decide whether or not to join this church. And according to Ephesians 5:17, we can either be foolish or we can understand the Lord's will. So, how can we discover God's will? You know, it's interesting, when we look into the Bible, we see the great men and women of the Bible were able to discover God's will in much the same way that you and I can discover God's will. I think when we think of the great men and women of the Bible, we assume that all of them always knew what to do because they had a supernatural vision, or this disembodied voice that spoke to them and told them what to do, or a dream in the middle of the night that guided them. And certainly God did guide people in some instances in those extraordinary ways. But more often than not in the Bible, we find God guiding his people in more ordinary ways. Let me give you two examples from the life of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 16, God guided Paul by an extraordinary means. Acts 16 verses 9 and 10 say, "During the night Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So he had this supernatural vision, probably in a dream in the middle of the night, and he knew what he was supposed to do from that point. But was that the most common, ordinary way that God guided the Apostle Paul? Not according to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, Paul is describing his travel plans to the Romans. And he says in one place, "But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I've been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while." So he doesn't reference any supernatural vision. He doesn't reference any disembodied voice speaking to him, but he knew what he was supposed to do. In fact, he knew that he had God's blessing on these plans, because we go on and read in verse 29, "I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ." You know, sometimes when we're reading the Bible, we skip over or breeze over these references in Paul's letters to his travel plans. But I find it very encouraging to look at those very passages of Scripture, because they let me know that the way that the Apostle Paul arrived at his understanding of God's will is available to every one of us in here. I've had a few moments when I've discovered God's will in extraordinary ways. I sensed at the age of 12 that God was calling me to preach, and it had a wonderful clarifying effect upon my life to go through my adolescent years knowing what I was going to be doing and supposed to be doing on the other side of my adolescent years entering into adulthood. And it was an extraordinary experience. It was a supernatural experience that gave me direction at that point. But since that point, I've had hundreds of decisions to make that didn't involve supernatural visions or disembodied voices or anything like that. And I've had to make a number of decisions in my life as a pastor, in my life as an individual. How do we seek God's will, and how do we ultimately discover God's will? Most of us in here have a decision to make today of one kind or another. So according to Ephesians 5:17, we can be foolish or we can try to discern God's will. How can we make wise decisions? Some years back, in one of his books, the late John Stott outlined five suggestions that he made on how to discover God's will. And I want to go over those, and I want to add some of my own thoughts and comments to them. So find a pen or a pencil. Your sermon notes are on the back of the bulletin. Write this first one down. Surrender yourself to God's will. Surrender yourself to God's will. In making wise decisions, the greatest obstacle is obstinance. When trying to discover God's will, the greatest hindrance is my will. What I need to do is still and quiet my ambitions and my agendas and get quiet enough to actually hear the voice of God speaking to me. Now, someone once wrote about her experience serving as a clerk in a bookstore, and she often found it humorous, the titles of the books that people would put on the counter for her to check out. Sometimes she felt a strange symmetry that combined together on those titles. And one time a woman put a couple of books on the counter for her to check out. The first one was entitled Conversations with God. And the second was entitled How to Argue and Win Every Time. Now, that seems to be the kind of relationship that some of us have with God. We come to Him and we want Him to affirm what we've already decided in our hearts to do. What we need to do first is have this act of surrender. Now, Abraham is a model of this surrendered life. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God comes to Abram and He says, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the place I will show you. Do you see how specific in that verse, how targeted God is on all that Abraham was to leave behind, and how vague God was on where Abraham was to be led? So He says, leave your country, your people, your father's household. In other words, leave all that you know. Leave all that is warm and familiar to you. Leave that which you consider home. But then what does He say regarding where He wants to send Abraham? He says, go to the land I'm going to show you. In other words, God said, Abraham, I'm not going to unfold a map and point it out to you. I'm not going to give you the GPS coordinates. I'm not even going to give you a hint. You're just going to have to trust me. And what did Abraham say? Okay, Lord. In fact, he left the familiar to go to the unfamiliar so quickly that you would have assumed that God was commanding him to leave the unfamiliar and return to the familiar. He is an example of the surrendered life. We've got to face it. Too many times when we're trying to make a decision, we don't want guidance from God. We want an echo. We want God to just echo back what we've already determined in our hearts to do. If you want to first understand God's will, you've got to come to terms with your will. You need to get to the point where you say, God, I'm surrendered to you. Wherever you're going to tell me to go, whatever you're going to tell me to do, I'm ready to do it. Your wish is my command. There was a man one time who lost his pocket watch in the sawdust of an ice house. Now, naturally, I'm not talking about something that happened last week. I'm talking about something that happened about 100 years ago, back in the days when in the U.S. there were ice houses, and ice was generated or created and cut off in these big blocks and placed in ice houses. These ice houses had thick walls and no windows and a tightly sealed door and sawdust on the floor. And this man lost his pocket watch in the sawdust. And after sort of riffing around through the sawdust for a while, getting his friends to join in, they finally gave up for lunch break and went outside. And a little boy, seeing that nobody was in, went inside. And shortly he came out and he had the pocket watch with him. And these grown men looked at this little boy and said, how in the world were you able to find this so quickly? And the boy said, well, I went in when everybody else left, and I closed the door, and I lay down in the sawdust, and it got real quiet, and I started hearing the ticking of the clock. Now, what we've got to do is still and quiet our ambitions enough and our agendas enough so that we can actually hear God. It may not be the case that God isn't speaking to us. It may be that we haven't stilled and quieted ourselves enough to hear what He has to say. So the first thing we need to do is surrender ourselves to God's will. There's a second thing to do. Pray for God's guidance. Pray for God's guidance. A general vague surrender is important, but it's just not enough. What we've got to do then is in that stillness and quietness, we need to ask for God's help. James said in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. So our Heavenly Father doesn't spoil His children. He wants us to ask Him and to seek His face and to seek an answer from Him. We need to understand that our will, our own little voice, is only going to guide us so far. And a lot of times our own little voice is going to guide us into foolishness. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So your feelings can get you into a lot of foolishness. When we need to make a decision, we need to lift our decision up to God, and we need to say, help me with my choices, God. If you're frustrated in your efforts at trying to find out what God wants you to do, then the first thing you need to do is surrender, still, and quiet your own ambitions. And then you need to ask God for help. Here's a third thing that you need to do. Ask for advice. So surrender, and then pray, and then ask for advice. And we need to ask for advice from people who are trying to follow God like we're trying to follow God. Listen to what God's Word says about somebody who is wise. A lot of times we would think that the wisest people in this church are the people we would go to for advice. But according to the Bible, it may be that the wisest people are in this church are the people who might come to us for advice. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. The proverb says, wisdom is found in those who give advice. That's not what it says, is it? Wisdom is found in those who take advice. And so if we are looking for God's will, maybe the wisest thing to do is to go to other people, particularly people who love God like we do, and ask their advice. And your willingness to ask for advice from others can make all the difference. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says, for waging war, you need guidance. And for victory, you need many advisors. If you're trying to decide as a young person what career to enter into, it makes sense to ask somebody who's had 10 or 15 years in that job you're thinking about entering into. Talk with them about what that job involves and whether they would do it all over again if they had a chance to start over, and what kind of training did they seek, and that kind of thing. So what we need to do is look for people who are already in the career we're in. If you are thinking about getting married, or you're a newlywed, the wisest thing you can do is to get together with some other couples who've had some years of marriage experience and sort of pick their brain and learn from them how to make marriage work. If you're having all kinds of money troubles, the wisest thing to do might be to go to somebody who seems to have, you know, their act together when it comes to money, especially somebody who used to not have their act together but figure some things out, and they can show you the path that you need to go as well. So we need to ask other people for advice. Here's a fourth thing to write down. Apply your mind to the question. As important as it is to surrender yourself to God and pray and ask others for advice, the burden is still on you. You've got to make up your mind. And what a wonderful mind God has given us to make up. But I think sometimes people think that discovering God's will is on this end of the spectrum, and applying your mind to the question is on the opposite end of the spectrum, and they're incompatible. They don't go together. They might assume that if you are applying your mind to the situation, thinking through it, processing it, collecting data, drawing conclusions on the data, you must clearly be a person who lacks faith. And I really believe that sometimes when people say they're trying to discover God's will and they're praying for God to give them a sign or show them something, I think sometimes really what's happening is they're trying to free themselves of the frightening accountability of living with the decision that we have to make. They just want to put their mind in neutral and just let God tell them what to do. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God will tell you what to do often through this marvelous mind that He has given you. God has given us a brain, and we glorify Him when we put it to work. Now, what should we do with this brain that God has given us so that we might glorify Him and discover His will through that process? Well, what can we do with our minds? We can learn from past experience. That's one thing. We can look back and learn from the experiences of the past and try to not make the mistakes of the past, or try to do better the next time around. Somebody said, wisdom is the best teacher is not a true modern day proverb. It all depends on experience. Experience is the best teacher, and that's not a good modern day proverb, the person said, because it all depends upon what kind of student experience has to teach. The reality is that if you're not learning from the experiences you go through, you're not glorifying God by putting to work this mind that He has given you. So learn from past experiences with your mind. Another thing you can do with your mind is assess the facts and draw conclusions from those facts. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, what a shame, how stupid to decide before knowing the facts. Some of the dumbest decisions I've ever made in the past were made because I was in a rush, I was in a hurry, or I just wished things to be the way I wanted them to be, and I didn't collect information, I didn't think through the facts that I could have had right out in front of me. So, draw conclusions from the facts. Here's a third thing we can do with our minds. We can weigh the pros and cons of a situation. Look at the good, look at the possible bad that might come from a decision that you're going to make. I remember when I was a kid and my dad set me down with a pad of paper and drew a line down the middle of the paper and wrote the word pros on one side and the word cons on the other side and gave me the pencil and said, you make the decision. What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages if you make this particular decision? That stuck with me ever since. Now, some people might think that's a lack of faith or it's an act of pessimism to look at the possible cons or disadvantages of a decision you're thinking about making. But the Bible tells us it's quite the opposite. We need to make sure that we're using our minds to weigh out the pros and cons. Another thing you can do with your mind is anticipate problems from the choices that you're going to make and plan accordingly. You know Murphy's Law, right? My mother's maiden name is Murphy, and so when we would go see the Murphy clan, I honestly asked at one point if this was named after them. It actually wasn't, but you know Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. Let me tell you, Murphy was an optimist because he used the word if. We need to realize that there are going to be things that go off the tracks. They don't turn out the way we thought they were going to turn out. There's the law of unintended consequences that always come from whatever decision we make. And that doesn't automatically mean we made the wrong decision. Recognizing that there may be negative consequences or there may be something negative that happens when you make a decision, that doesn't mean you shouldn't make the decision at all. It just means that you need to be prepared for the consequences that might come. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 3 says, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. So we need to make sure and use this marvelous mind that God has given us. And when we do, we are actually glorifying Him. We're not being faithless. We're not taking the decision away from Him to make. We're making use of the mind that He has given us. Here's a fifth thing for you to write down. Wait for an answer. Wait for an answer. It's a mistake to be in a hurry and to grow impatient with God. If God hasn't told us clearly what to do, maybe we need to wait a little longer until He tells us what to do. Just because God hasn't told you what to do today doesn't mean He's not going to tell you tomorrow. So wait for an answer. Now, that's not always possible. There are those times when we have to hit a deadline. And we come up against that deadline and we still don't feel that we have absolute clarity about what to do. And so we just have to act with the best information that we have and move forward. We can't ignore that deadline. But if there's no deadline to a decision that we need to make, it may be best to wait a little bit longer until we get this sense of direction from God. God says to us sometimes what He said to Joseph and Mary in the Christmas story. He sent Joseph and Mary into Egypt and He said, go there until I tell you. He didn't tell them how long it was going to be. He didn't tell them when He was going to get back to them. He just said, go there until I tell you. One of the most revolutionary things that I've learned in my years of walking with God and trying to make decisions is that sometimes God withholds His answer from us to make us seek Him more. Now, that doesn't mean that God is petty. It doesn't mean that God is an extortionist. Although if that's what you want to call it, thank God for that extortion because it makes us draw closer to Him. You know, if the only time you called a so-called friend was for advice, but you never called that friend to spend time with them, to find out how their life was going, to kind of catch them up on what's going on in your life. You just called them for advice. They gave you advice. You said, thank you very much, and hung up. You'd have to conclude, or that person would have to conclude somewhere down the line, you're not much of a friend to them. I think sometimes God withholds the answer He wants to give us until we seek Him more earnestly and more desperately. It makes us draw closer to Him. Wouldn't you have to admit this in your own life? Wouldn't you have to admit that looking back, the times you probably felt closest to God was when you were out in deep water and you were wondering if you were going to be able to tread water for much longer? That time you brought your first child home from the hospital and you ask, where's the instruction book? Or that time you finally pop the question to the girl of your dreams and she said yes. Or that time that you graduated and you had your whole future out in front of you. Or that time you finally decided on the retirement date and you entered into it. Weren't those the times you felt closest to God when you had all this uncertainty around you and you had all this unknowingness around you and all you had to lean on and depend on was God and God alone? Weren't those the times you felt closest to God? God knows exactly what He's doing sometimes if He hasn't revealed Himself to you yet regarding His will for your life. So what we need to do is wait if God hasn't revealed Himself yet, because the fact that He hasn't revealed Himself yet doesn't mean He's not going to tomorrow. Again, if you've got a deadline that you're hit up against, act to the best of your knowledge with the information that you've got and move forward. But if you can wait, wait until you get some clarity from God. So these are some useful things, I think, to help us understand God's will for our life. But before we conclude, I have to say that there are some of us in here who do not need so much direction from God as we need courage from God. Some of us keep thinking or keep saying to God, God, just show me what to do. God, show me what to do. And God's up in heaven drumming His fingers on the side of the throne. And He's saying, I've already told you what to do. Get out and do it. Some of us need to realize that. I ran across a poem one time. You remember the footprints in the sand poem? This ain't it. Let me read it to you. One night, I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some strange prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too big for feet. My child, He said in somber tones, for miles I carried you along. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So to discipline I said, time's up. And there I dropped you on your butt. And so in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. Now, do you recognize any of these names? Shammua, Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Shathur, Nabai, Geuel. Most of us are not familiar with those names. They come from the Bible. They're good boys' names to have if you're expecting and you want to give your boy a name. But we don't use those names anymore today, do we? What about these names? Joshua and Caleb. You see, those first 10 names were the names of 10 of the 12 spies who were sent into the promised land in the Exodus time to spy out the land that God had promised God's people and to come back and bring a report. And they came back and brought a report, all right. They said, it must not be God's will for us to take this land because the opponents are too formidable. But then there were two of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, that said, yes, the opponents are formidable, but God has told us we can take it, so we can take it. And we remember those names today because God had given them a direction to go and they bravely advised that the people step out and do it. We need to be Joshua and we need to be Caleb today, some of us. It's not a matter of seeking God's will. It's a matter of having the courage to do what God has called on us to do. So as we wrap up today, there are really three decisions that we need to make today. Some of us need to make one, some of us need to make another, and some of us need to make a third. For some of us, what we need to do is take these five suggestions about how to discover God's will and go out and do them. This upcoming week is going to be a laboratory for some of you. You remember your chemistry class where you sat in class and you wrote down the theory and then you went into lab and put it into practice? For some of you, when we're done with this study today, you're going to go into lab and you're going to put into practice the things that we've learned, or hopefully you will. Others of us have another decision to make. What we need to do is act on what we already know God has called on us to do. We need to ask not for direction, but for courage. And then there are others of us in here who need to get started with God. You know, if you're looking for God's will, there's no better place to start than with what Jesus told us in John chapter 6, verse 40. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So what Jesus is saying is, you want God's guidance? You want your Creator to give you direction for your life? Here's the place to start. God's will for you is that you know the Son and that you have a right relationship with God through what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we were created by a loving, kind Creator, but we have separated ourselves from Him because of our sin, because of our rebellion. But God didn't abandon us in our rebellion. He came after us through the work of Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh coming to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to fix our sin problem. And when He died on the cross, He died to bear away our sin, that sin that separated us from God. So now there's nothing that keeps us separated from God. We can come to Him through the work of Jesus and put our trust in Him, learn from Him, grow in Him, and be eternally related to Him here and hereafter. And so if you're trying to discover God's will, a good place to start is, what are you doing with the claims of Jesus Christ? My encouragement to you today would be to open up your heart to Him and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior and Lord from this day forward. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's lay these three decisions before the Lord. For some of us in here, our decision or the prayer that we need to lift up to God is a decision that we need to make. And so we need to pray something like this. Dear Lord, I want to know Your will. I want to know what You want of me. I yield myself to You. I lift up my prayer request to You. I stand ready to ask the wisdom and advice of other people. I ask, Lord, that You would help me to know Your will. Show me, and I will do it. Others of us in here, we have a different kind of prayer. God has shown us what to do, and we're still not doing it. We're still delayed. Our continuing to ask God to show us His will is just a delaying tactic. And maybe what we need to do is pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, help me to not only understand Your will, but to do it. Thank You for revealing what You want of me. And now, Lord, give me the courage and give me the faith to step out, to step forward, to be Joshua and Caleb and do what You want me to do. And then there are others of us in here who need to take that first step with God. As Jesus said, here is God's will for you, to know the Son and to be set free by the Son. And so maybe you need to pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord, I didn't come in here consciously, knowingly seeking You, but I'm seeking You now. I'm curious about a relationship with You, and I want to have a relationship with You. I realize that my sins have separated me from You, and I ask that You to forgive me for those sins. Thank You for Jesus, who took away my sins on the cross. Come into my life now and be my Savior and my Lord, and help me to understand more about You and Your will for me from this day forward. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.